And I'm actually with two entities, Mark Ellen Frost, of course, and Seth. And we're going to take your calls as well. You can talk to one of them next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Mark Ellen Frost with us, or Seth. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
This is Mark, and I'm going to let Seth come through to answer questions.
Yeah, okay, that would be great, Mark. Mark, before you do, you still with me?
Yes.
Quick question. Do you know if Seth ever found the spirit which was once Jane Roberts, or has he ever communicated with her since that moment where she passed in 1984?
Oh, yes. He's an etheric teacher to Jane and many, many, many other souls, a multitude of souls, as he says. So, yes, they're still in communication.
How many entities like Seth are out there communicating through human beings like you?
Well, I would say, I wouldn't say an infinite amount, but a great amount. Because as he talked about in his books, the student or the person looking for spirit, finds spirit. You find the non-physical beings by looking for them and trying to connect with them. So I would say potentially billions and billions.
Now, when he speaks through you, are you in a dream state, or do you feel as if you are gone, or is there missing time when you come back?
Oh, there's definitely missing time. It depends on whether it's a mental overshadowing or a physical overshadowing. Jane would do a physical overshadowing with Seth. He would completely take over. Now, the mental overshadowing is what we call multitasking. I can come in and out quickly. I can go, can be Seth 1 second and the next second myself. What we're doing here tonight is halfway between that, between a mental and a physical overshadowing, in which he has, let's see, starting to go through already. He has almost total control, but I have my sense of self.
Are you ever concerned he's going to take over your body and just not give you, give it back?
No. No, that was, before I found out it was the real guy, I had those doubts and fears, but I no longer have those fears. I think I'm the luckiest guy in the world to make this connection and to have this collaboration with this wise being.
It's kind of neat, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is.
Well, can we bring him in?
Yeah, give me about 5 seconds.
Okay, I will do that. And this, of course, is radio. So while you're doing that, I'll continue to talk about things that are important.
Yes.
There you go.
You have some questions for me?
Seth, we've got a whole bunch. And I think we did this the last time you were with us.
Yeah.
But we've got callers who are calling from all over the country, all over the planet, actually, with questions for you. And let's go to them now if you're ready. Are you?
I am prepared.
All right. Very good. Thank you. And we'll go to Dennis in Philadelphia on our wild card line to get things started. Dennis, you are on with the entity we call Seth.
Good morning, George, and good morning, Seth. We are having the Pope coming down here in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is going to be one step below martial law, and none of what they're doing really makes any sense. But does he see anything bad happening here? Or is this just there, or are they just being over precautious?
Good question. Seth, I wonder if you could help us on that.
Let me see what's going on here. Well, there is cause for concern here. Your police forces have been given too much power. And your politicians use these collectives sort of to do their own bidding, as well as enforce the law, certainly. But there something to fear here, in the sense of practicing for a police state. Some would argue you're already in it, that you're already in a police state. From my perspective, it appears that way. But these shows of force are the way that the elites demonstrate their control over you. In a sense, it's a reminder that you are not in a democracy. You're in a tyrannical plutocracy, is the way I describe it, that has medieval roots. Now, as far as advice, keep a good thought. The militarized police want humans to act out so that they can use their toys. That's the worst thing that you can do, is to act out of anger. You want to be courageously loving in these endeavors.
I've got to tell you, though, that, Seth, on this planet, I truly believe most police officers are good-hearted people.
Oh, yes, I agree.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they're under the control of people who have, most of them have good hearts. I'll grant you that. But you're rapidly, this relationship between the average citizen and their police is deteriorating. And that's what I'm commenting on here.
Okay.
And it's due to bad behavior on both parts, on both sides. So what I'm saying is act from the heart. And yes, you will survive. You will thrive. This suggestion goes out to police officers everywhere. Act from the heart, you see.
That's so important. Truck driving in Wyoming, we've got Randy west of the Rockies. Randy, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Georgia, I'm just a coming insider, and I enjoy talking
to you. Well, thank you.
But I got some questions for Seth.
Okay.
In the 1st of May, my wife and I went to Deadwood City, and we stayed at the Franklin Hotel, which is known for ghosts. My wife was extremely ill, and I left for a little bit and come back, and she said the lady come in and asked her if she's okay, and she asked her like three times. Well, we go back home, and one night I was in bed, and my wife was kneeling over the top of me with a big cup in her hand, and in a demonic voice, she said, "I'm going to kill you," twice. And within a week, I come in the house, and I went upstairs. Well, I started upstairs, and something come down and broke my foot and broke my little toe. I went up into the living room, and it was dark, dark, dark. And I got the crap beat out of me. And when the cops came, they arrested both of us. I thought she beat me up, but the next day her face was black and blue from ear to ear. And I think we both got attacked by demons. I'm just wondering if you know any. She knew the lady's name, the ghost. It was the lady that lived in Deadwood City in the 1800s. That's all it said on the internet. But do you know what happened that evening to me and my wife?
Well, I can tell you what does happen. These are the so-called ghosts are non-physical beings, fragments of personalities who usually succumbed in negative ways, in that they are often murdered, let's say. And so the consciousness abruptly leaves, but leaves behind this fragment. That is It's an emotional construct. It's driven by the negative emotions. It's a gestalt of consciousness, just as others are, such as the gods, let's say, the fairies, and so on. And it needs to be resolved. You resolve these constructs by leading them to the light. They are lost, and you proceed to treat them as if they were a child, and lead them to their dimension, to a completion of the transition. In essence, a realization that they are deceased. That is the technique involved. What happened with yours? You had a dimensional bleed through in which this gestalt of consciousness had its way and expressed these murderous emotions onto you. It does occur. It's called poltergeist activity in some realms, and it's a very common activity. Fragmented souls that need to be led back to their home dimension.
Seth, who were you when you were in your human form?
I've been many, many, many humans. Would you like to know some of them?
Yes. Oh, yes. By all means.
I enjoy Italy. I enjoy ancient Italy, and so I incarnated as Italian women in a series of lives that I greatly enjoyed. I've been a spice merchant. As a male, I was a purveyor of spices, and I would travel widely collecting my various snuffs.
That was a big business in those days.
It was a big business. I did quite well. I also was habituated to these snuffs, for they have powerful psychoactive properties, some of them. But I've led mainly female lives. I enjoy the female, being the female, you say. And in that way, I experience lessons that what we call the oversoul, my soul, can enjoy and be informed thereby and enlarge and grow in that way.
When we had the call about the demons, I mean, do they surround you? Do they try to get at you?
Do they get at me personally?
Yes, the demons. I mean, are they trying to?
They are. They exist in their own dimensional space. What happens is this. If you are, let's say, an alcoholic, and you drink into a stupor, you have a tendency to take in these negative gestalts of consciousness. They are looking for people. They are looking for a way to inhabit consciousness. And in this way, it is a contamination. It is sort of what some people call a demonic possession. I call them negative entities. They have their own energy. They endure through the negative thought, emotion, and imagery of humans. So it's, again, it's very important for people to, in the beginning of our times together, whether in our webinars or on the phone, I ask people to create positive space for themselves, sanctuary we call it, then you can explore the unknown reality, which does contain these negative entities. But if you continually keep in place this sort of sacred sphere around you, what have you, you're protected. But did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it did. Let's go next to Edward in Wyckoff, New Jersey. Edward, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. I've been familiar with Seth since 1975 when I was reading the Jane Roberts books, The Coming of Seth, and especially the book Seth Speaks. I found much interest in this. I recall him mentioning that in one of his reincarnations, he had been one of the popes, but neglected to mention which one. Your last question was especially relevant. I was interested to know who you were and what you were in your last incarnation, and especially what do you need to do or to decide to terminate your cycle of incarnations in this world so that you don't need to come back here. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, there is the statement that the universe is an illusion and that we are doomed to come back into this world until through the science of yoga we attain cosmic consciousness. Is this really true, or is there another way? I'm also concerned about my purpose in life and financial independence for this purpose and for how to rescue my home. That's quite an order, but I'm eager to for your very kind response.
Where do I begin?
Well, begin at the beginning.
Well, in the beginning, there was this...
Were you a pope, Seth?
I was a minor pope, yes.
I believe you might have been in the 3rd century. I'm not sure.
Yes, correct.
I've done my homework on you, Seth.
336. Yes, I was a minor pope. I was also fond of alcohol. I, in essence, spent most of my time drinking wine. But I was there for official business, you might say. But my heart was always elsewhere.
What did you think of the church?
Well, I thought of the church as an excellent vehicle for my particular personality. I was a reluctant pope in that I would have rathered I was a merchant, let's say.
Oh. You were selected, but probably wished you were not.
Exactly, yes. And so as I talk about in my autobiography, I was religious, and I was prone to creating visionary experience through imbibing my wine. And through that process, I had some major interactions with the Master Jesus and other inspirational figures.
All right, Seth, hold on. Please stay with us, Seth. We've got more calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we should get some answers hopefully this week on app development for ParanormalDate.com. They're going through the very stringent requirements for apps, but we're getting there a little bit at a time, and it will be great when we do for your iPhone and Android. You can join for free right now while we wait for all of this at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com. And if you've already connected and you've gone on a date or two and you've had a great time, send us an email with your story at ParanormalDate@gmail.com. Okay, welcome back to our final segment. I'm George Norrie. And Seth, have you stayed with us, or Mark, are you back?
I have stayed with you.
Thank you. I appreciate this. I appreciate your patience, because in this side of the world, in life, we have to break every once in a while. We do these things. You probably have all the time in the world, don't you?
I have an eternity. That is quite true.
Has it been frustrating for you seeing the things unfold on this planet?
You mean the negative
reality? The calamities, the catastrophes, the hatred.
Well, I would say that I'm not invested in that perception. It is something to be considered when you are a human in physical form. But for the non-physical beings, we exist outside of your dimension, and we look in on you, so to speak. And we try to help when we can, but we are not allowed to intervene in the learning of lessons. Those lessons pertaining to individuals, collectives, nations, you see. And so we look on with compassion, you might say, but we can only help to a particular degree. And often the way we do help is to suggest that you approach your life with positive emotion rather than negative, because that's how you get your positive realities. That is how you transform the negative that you're experiencing into its opposite. I tell my students it's a very simple process to describe. And when you think about it, it's actually a choice that you have moment to moment. Are you going to focus on the negatives in the world, the atrocities and so on? Or are you going to focus on what's good about your world? Both exist right out in front of you. And it depends on your focus on what you will focus on and so enliven and strengthen. Or what you distract your focus on, let's say.
When an entity is, when a human dies, that soul that we call the soul, the spirit, what happens to it?
Well, the spirit that I call the etheric body does not die. It inhabits physical bodies. You have an etheric body and a physical body, as I mentioned earlier. Now, your physical body does sort of has a end date on it. And when you make your transition, what happens is this, your inner senses take over. Your physical senses, your sight, your hearing, and so on, deteriorate, obviously, because your cells are dying. But your physical senses are the outcomes of these inner senses. You might call them the inner senses of the etheric body. So as you let go, according to whatever scriptures you've read, according to whatever end-of-life scenarios that you believe in, your cells do die, but the etheric body moves into the next dimension of existence, the home dimension. And you find that your personality has survived death. You look around and you see that you are still you. You have a different body, but you have the same mentality. And what occurs for people quite usually is this playing out on a sort of holographic display in front of you, these various religious scenes, quite usually. And after that, you relax and you get an idea of what's really around you. Through these inner senses, you see that you are in a very wonderful place. You meet your ancestors, for example. If you wish, through this holographic display, it's an etheric display, you can replay events from the life that you've just come from or from any of your reincarnation existences. And so there's a lot to do in the afterlife if you want. But let's be frank here. Most people prefer to go back immediately. even though they may have lived a life of despair.
They miss that human life, don't they?
Yes, they miss embodiment, the embodiment of spirit.
Let's go to Chuck in Chicago on our wild card line. Chuck, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Cease. Cease, if you have led an evil life and you're sorry for your past, how can you avoid going to hell? Or can you avoid going to hell?
Well, that speaks to the concept of identifying your issues and learning your lessons. The third dimension is a stage. It's sort of a repertory presentation of you and your colleagues, your soul family members, in different bodies. And throughout history, over the incarnations, in this repertory format, you each play different roles. So in this life, let's say, we're assuming that the person you're talking about, certainly not you, is evil, has done evil things. There's a good reason for that. Perhaps this person was incarnated to learn a particular lesson. Perhaps the negative value of being evil. But they are also offered a choice here, and the choice is to identify that issue, bad behavior, let's call it. Let's say this person did identify it and tried to turn it around before their death. Often that occurs in the last years of life. People get a sense of their impending demise, and so they, in a sense, clean up their act. I call that learning the lesson. In that sense, you're keeping this contractual obligation with soul. So this example has been successful. They have been an evil person their entire life. But in the end, they learned their lesson by doing good, let's say, by doing good works, by giving money away and so on, by, in fact, being the opposite of evil. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, George. Good show.
Okay, very good. I'm sure it did. Let's go to Kate in Southern California, first-time caller. Hello, Kate.
Hi, George, and thank you so much for your show.
You're very well.
Every night, I don't miss it.
Thank you.
Seth, my situation probably is felt by a lot of senior citizens that lost everything in 2008. And now living off Social Security, our health is failing, and of course we have to deal with Medicare. And just not my generation. My son, who graduated magna cum laude, can't find a job. Now he has a small son. So what do you see as far as, let's say, for the senior citizens and the younger generation, do you see things brightening up and cutting loose? Because at this point, it strips you. I don't have the health for, I've lost my spirituality, and transitioning over seems like be a godsend at this point.
These are fair questions, Seth. What do you think?
Well, I would say this. Hang on. The visionary leaders are coming out of the woodwork to lead you. Now, I talk about this quite a bit to my phone clients, but how it works is this: by hanging in there, by keeping positive, a positive expectation that things will improve, you feed, you fuel the positive manifestation, as we call it. What some people call the new earth, in which things are not tyrannical, things are not futile, things are excellent for the average citizen, as I say. Unfortunately, the tendency is to habitually create lack. So by focusing on what you don't have, you help it to endure. So the first step is to focus on the wonderful things that you do have. Now the next step is to make a habit out of that. And what occurs is this: you are a reality creator, and you create your personal reality field, a field that has a perimeter about 50 feet around you, through the images that you focus on, through the emotions that you generate, and through the circular thoughts that you entertain in your mentality. So what I'm asking you to do is to do the opposite. If you do, in time, you'll start to see these changes. You'll start to see what millions of others are seeing. The new earth is emerging into your reality, into the third dimension, and you'll start to get indications of that. You'll see that visionary leaders are being elected rather than tyrants. You'll see that because of that, they will support these social security programs. They will provide for the common welfare of all humans, not simply those who have wealth and property. But it's an inside job, as they say, and it begins with your next positive thought, your positive, loving thought for yourself, for your soul family members, and for everyone else. I talk about it in terms of thinking about the highest good for yourself first and everyone else secondly. And that's what you want to focus on. You have the capacity to be one of these visionary leaders I'm talking about. You have it. It's a skill set that lies latent. These are unused abilities that you've exercised in other lifetimes.
Thank you, Kate.
Pardon?
Yeah. Seth, let me ask you, what happens to the entities of people who have not led good lives? Murderers, people like that.
Yes, we spoke of this in our first book on 9/11. These people, I'm going to get a little etheric and spiritual with you. There is a collective that we call the spiritual hierarchy, another that we call the council, and these are highly evolved beings that meet you. They meet you in the etheric world after your demise. And in a sense, you are assessed. First, you're assessed as to, well, did this person learn their lesson in this last lifetime? As I said before, you're sent into physical reality to learn particular lessons. That is understood here as the first requirement. If they indeed not only did not learn the lesson, but avoided it, denied it, intellectualized it, and did leave this evil life, they are immediately sent back to live a life in similar circumstances. And they're encouraged to learn the lesson this time. And that's the way it works. Evolutionary consciousness learns about everything. Every possible emotion, every nuance of behavior and thought, by sending pieces of itself, fragments of itself, in human form into the third dimension.
Is there hope for the future of mankind, Seth?
Oh, yes, there is hope. But let me qualify that. There is hope for the new Earth, which I also call the best-case scenario, to manifest equivalent to the collective positive expectation of human beings. If you keep the good thought and your collectives, your soul families, keep the good thought. Hundreds of millions of you, let's say, keep the good thought. There is a great deal of hope. And as I said earlier, particularly in this next year and a half, I think you'll see what I mean. You will be in a phase of what we call instant manifestation, where your thoughts will manifest sooner rather than later, which means your positive thoughts will be manifest quickly, just as your negative thoughts will. So you will receive, let's say, punishment almost immediately through your negative behaviors by acting out, you see, pretending that you have authority over others and so on.
Seth, I want to thank you for being on the program. Truly appreciate it. One day, if I ever get to that side to meet you, just remember how we treated you on this interview. That was something. What do you think? For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.